Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name is Pete Allison and this is my good friend Dave Cribb.
Hello, Pete. Hello, the world. Are we well?
I'm all right, thank you. You?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, absolutely. I just realised I asked the world if they were well as well. I imagine they've all responded in unison.
The world in chorus says yes.
It's lovely to be back. Episode 12 of Friends with Friends, the podcast where we get our friends on to talk about their favourite episode of the sitcom Friends. And it's a good one today, Pete. I've really enjoyed watching this one back.
I did as well. I think it's one of the best episodes of them all.
I think it probably is. And it's one that is inextricably linked to our podcast for reasons which will become clear shortly.
It is, yes. Yes, of course.
And also, it's an interesting one because it's another one. So my sister's previously been on this podcast. And today, it's not only a friend, but also a colleague of mine. But also, more importantly, my current flatmate. So he is very much... I was trying to work out whether to say he's the Joey to my Chandler or the Chandler to my Joey. But he's sort of like the chicken the duck to my Joey and Chandler. That's how I'll describe him. It's Cornelius Mendes. Con, how are you?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Pete.
Hello, hello.
Hi, thanks for that glowing introduction.
You are welcome. Well,
I am two characters that don't even last half of the whole run and don't have any lines.
Yeah, what is your verdict on the relationship between... Are you Chandler and Joey, are you happy being the chicken the duck or is that offensive to you?
I find that offensive, and I'd say I'm definitely Chandler as well.
Based on what?
Just I don't want to be Joey. I'm just definitely not Joey. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No one really wants to be Joey.
I'm too clever and lonely.
So talk to me about Friends, Con. Long time love, recent love.
Yeah.
What's your relationship?
So obviously grown up with Friends on the telly, and it's weird being listening to the previous episodes of this podcast, as I only ever remember Friends on Channel 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you guys know it from, like, different channels.
Yeah, it was Sky, and then it was E4 after that. Yeah, so Sky 1, I think, then Channel 4, then E4, then Comedy Central.
These days, Netflix.
And then Netflix, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Sky 1 is where I first started watching it, but I didn't have Sky at the time, so I remember people used to come into school on a Friday morning and talk about that episode last night, and I couldn't...
I find it weird that you can remember it as it came out.
Yeah, I know. I
can only remember the last episode as it came out, but that's because me and my whole family watched it, like grandparents and everything. But we were stuck in the New Forest and there was nothing else to do.
I can remember a really specific detail about that last series because I think, like you, Con, it's the one series that I can actually remember watching it like as it came out. Mm. And I can remember the trailer for the final episode of Friends on Channel 4 was accompanied by a Scissor Sisters song in the background between various clips.
Which one?
I don't know why I can remember that. I don't want to sing.
Go on.
I think it's Laura. Is it Laura?
Laura.
Laura's the one with quite a creepy piano-esque bit in it. That's something like that. Yeah, that was in it.
Oh, that's a good song.
Is that Laura?
Very of that era as well.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, I don't know why I can remember that so specifically, but it clearly left its mark on me.
Right, let's talk about your episode then. This is, I think, one of the best ones. It's in my top three, definitely. What's it called and why did you pick it?
It's called The One with the Embryos, which is a weird title because no one remembers it for even featuring the embryos,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
We've had this a few times with a few episodes now, haven't we? Choice of titles.
I feel like almost it's a deliberate thing now, having gone through, this is the 12th episode we've analysed, and every title is always the least memorable plot. So maybe that is just the way they go. Everyone will remember the bit. The thing, so we'll just call after a thing to remind everyone that that's in it. But what's give us the alternative title then?
It's the one with the lightning round.
The
quiz.
One with the lightning round, Pete. Yeah. We finally got to the actual lightning round, having done a lightning round on this podcast. So it's the one with the game. It's the one where Ross does the quiz, game, the quiz between Rachel and Monica and Joey and Chandler. Let me do the plot summary because I was just about to do it without reading it. So the one with the embryos is season 4, episode 12. And here it is. Phoebe's uterus is examined for implantation of embryos. A seemingly harmless game between the guys and the girls escalates into a full-blown contest to see which pair knows more personal data about the other. The guys end up betting the chick and the duck, and the girls bet their apartment. When the guys win, Rachel tells them it was just a game, but the guys continue to move in. At the end, Phoebe tells everyone she's pregnant. I really enjoy these synopses because they are written as if someone's just sort of tried to remember what happened but not actually gone back and watched it. They're like, I think that's about the gist of it. An interesting fun fact underneath the synopsis, TV Guide in 2009 ranked this episode number 21 on its list of the 100 greatest episodes of anything ever.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. I wonder if another Friends episode was in that top 20.
I've just clicked through, Pete, and the answer is...
Of course you have.
No, I think this is the...
Yes! So that means that I got it completely correct.
Yes, this
I've
podcast...
I've chosen the best episode to do.
Oh, so there's no other Friends in that top 20. It's just this at 21.
Yeah, exactly. This podcast has been a very long-form exam, and you have answered the question correctly. Number 21, Seinfeld, an episode of Seinfeld is number one, Sopranos, it's like loads of other stuff, Lost,
An episode
ER.
Of Seinfeld
Yeah, the contest
one.
Of Seinfeld is
How
number
old
one.
Is this?
This is 2009. So there's no, this is, whether we like to believe this or not, there's no Simpsons until 24.
Oh yeah, which episode's that?
And it's Krusty Gets Cancelled. They determined to be the best episode of that. But that falls behind an episode of Lost and an episode of ER.
Well, this is rubbish.
I don't think
if
we
Seinfeld's
should.
Number one, I mean, it sounds like something my dad wrote.
You're not into Seinfeld?
No, I've never seen it.
We've had this before. Who was? Oh, Mark Haynes on a previous episode just said he hates Frasier. Just one of the most popular sitcoms. He was like, I think it's the worst thing I've ever watched.
I've never seen Frasier either.
You know?
No.
I've never seen Seinfeld and I hate Frasier.
You do? Why does everyone hate Frasier?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that I just don't like it.
Is Frasier the one that came out of Cheers?
Yes.
Yeah,
correct.
I've never seen Cheers either, although I recently went to the Cheers bar. And I was just like, this is just a bar.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Cheers, it's literally just a pub, isn't it?
Yeah, it's slightly more expensive. Yeah. And there's lots of photos on the wall.
Yeah, lots of references written everywhere that you do not understand.
Yeah.
I should flag up, actually, I was a bit unfair to you in the introduction because in all the chicken, duck, Joey and Chandler nonsense, I didn't actually say your actual job. So people will just think... You've been drafted in as a waif and stray, you know, quickfire replacement. But you are a comedy writer and producer yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have an invested interest. I just thought it's worth flagging that up at this point because you haven't seen loads of sitcoms. So I just don't know how good you can be at your job.
Well, that's been said.
Right, so let's crack on. There's only two real plots running alongside this one. And even in the one with the embryos is such a small fry bit of it. So let's start with that and then move on to the best and basically only proper bit of this episode, which is the game. So, I mean, there's really very little to say.
It's a real basic bitch of an episode.
But this episode, I think, is so good. And I think this is the interesting thing. We've had episodes which I think are... You know, there's questionable moments and plot lines and continuity things and loads of stuff. This episode, I think, is just pretty flipping good. And therefore, it limits us in how much we can really pick it apart. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think the some of my favourite Friends episodes are where they are, almost all of them at least, all in the same scenes together. Because I think that's when you really get the best insight into, like, the... how good that whole group of actors is.
Yeah.
And then obviously Phoebe's there a little bit later, but the bit where they're just sat on the sofa doing this quiz and they're getting so into it, and I think it's one of the strongest episodes of them as an ensemble, definitely.
It does. I was thinking that as I was watching it, actually. I was like, if I was Lisa Kudrow and they'd spent all week filming what looks like a really fun episode, and she was just in another room filming herself getting prodded around the groin, then I'd be a bit annoyed.
I didn't see that scene.
It was implied. So the only things I really noted from the Phoebe embryos getting planted is it's nice to see Frank and Alice knocking about. Very enjoyable characters at all times.
Yeah, Frank's hilarious.
He's excellent. And also, how much it costs for IVF? $16,000 in the 90s.
Money was more then, wasn't it?
Yeah, that would be more money. I haven't got the maths.
How much is that in English pounds?
Let's have a look. Oh, in English,
I reckon that'd be about...
It's £11,500. But then, when was this? 1998?
Mm. Yeah, series four, isn't it?
£11,500 in 1998. Just under £20,000.
Who knew children would be so expensive?
Exactly.
No wonder Phoebe felt under pressure for it to work.
Yeah, and bloody hell, did it work? Those odds were small, but she had triplets, and those odds must have been even smaller. But I am not doing any more maths, because that is all I want to do
in
for
that
this podcast.
Scene, Frank says, you know, why don't... Because the idea is that she has a 25% chance if they put five eggs in.
Yeah.
And Frank jokes, or no, not jokes, he suggests, why don't they put, like, stuff and... I honestly don't understand why they didn't. If they know there's a 25% chance, why didn't they put 20 eggs in rather than five?
Well, I imagine...
Then that's a guarantee.
I would love to be able to give you an answer, but my knowledge of IVF is quite limited.
Well, let's go basic on the basic math. So if you put 20 in and you guaranteed one, right?
Yeah.
You've put four times as many in. So based on the fact she ends up with triplets, Phoebe would have had 12 babies. And that is too many.
Yeah, but you probably get out of those 12, you probably get a better spin-off than Joey.
Phoebe's 12
yeah.
babies, the spin-off. It's a very good point. I imagine there's some sort of medical procedural reason. But, you know, hey, let's wait for someone to tweet us and tell us that we do not understand.
Also, there's a moment in this episode involving Phoebe where Chandler makes a really gross joke about checking Phoebe's uterus. And then, like, 30 seconds later, he jokes about checking Monica's underwear. It's like, Chandler, he's a real cock in this episode, Chandler.
It's real out of character for Chandler. Like, those are both Joey lines. I thought that when I watched it. He goes, oh, I can check that for you. Like... It's really, like, bizarrely out of character. He looks quite uncomfortable saying them.
It's so seedy, and it's not even seedy in, like, like you say, Joey, that's just what he liked, where it's like, Chandler, what is wrong with you?
I thought he's just being cheeky, though. Like, I think he was saying it willingly, knowing that he is just joking.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought he got away with it, personally.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope he's
saying. It's good to hear two sides of every story, though. It's good to have people defending the honour of characters that we are besmirching. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, that's really what the extent of the embryo storyline. Pop them in, go away for a bit. Apart from the fact that this, in my very basic medical knowledge, is far too quick for you to know whether you're pregnant. Because it's like 4 hours later. And I'm pretty sure after IVF, you can't just nip home.
Well, they mention that Monica said, oh no, Phoebe says you have to wait a couple days.
Yeah.
But then she tries first, and then she tries half an hour later.
And it feels like they thought they've got away with it because she has that line about my body being faster than Western medicine. And it feels
I love
like...
that line. That's one of my favourite lines in this episode.
It just feels like they were like, we've really sewn up a plot hole there by putting that line in. But I looked it up, and normally with IVF, it takes like 9 to 10 days. So 4 hours seems real, real quick. But I suppose they had to really set up the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't want to play a game, have some people moving in for 9 to 10 days. That is a long episode of Friends. All right, on to the main beef of this episode. It's girls versus boys. And it starts, the weird thing about this episode, it starts really oddly, doesn't it? Like, when you watch this episode of Friends, it doesn't start like an episode of Friends. There's no, like, music or little sting or, like, it's not jolly. It's, like, eerie and creepy.
It's a cold open.
It's a cold open with a cockerel crowing and like a slow pan at nighttime across the apartments, and it's like, it's really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And like the cockerel at first, because I forget that that's why they get so angry, and I was just like, are they really expecting us to think there's a cockerel in New York City? Yeah. Yeah. I was like, why don't you just show a clock or something to show it's the morning? I thought that's... When I was like, why don't you just do...
It's like, that, like those really basic radio dramas yeah. where they're like, put a cockerel in, that means morning.
I also love that Rachel finds it so difficult to understand what it is that's making the noise, because if the people who lived opposite you, who are your very close friends, have a chick and a duck and you wake up to hear some bird making a loud noise, I think it wouldn't be too difficult to come to the conclusion that that bird is the source of the bird noise.
Right. And also, how are they the only people that are annoyed, and how do they get away with having a chicken and a duck for so long? If they've heard that cockerel from across the hall and like the other side of the apartment where their bedrooms are, like that whole building must be waking up, mustn't it?
Yeah, surely.
It didn't even wake up Chandler and Joey, because when they knock, they go, what's that noise? And they go, it's you. Surely your first response is, oh, that's our really loud animal that's probably still going on, right, literally 2 meters from us.
So the girls hate the birds. That sets up what comes later on. And then it descends into this who knows who better thing when Joey and Monica come back from doing laundry or something. There's a really weird bit where Joey walks in and there's a really slightly awkward bit of exposition where they walk in and Joey just goes, but I'm still right. And it's like, oh, okay, I see. You've been having an argument and you would like to continue it in the room now. And this argument is that, Monica's wearing her granny pants because she's done the laundry.
Oh, yeah.
And they end up doing this sort of mini quiz at the start.
About the shopping bag.
About the shopping bag. And Joey and Chandler name all the items in that shopping bag, which is a good mixed bunch. What, apples? Can you remember apples?
I remember scotch tape.
Scotch tape, yogurt.
Yogurt, yeah. Diet Coke.
Diet soda, diet actually. Soda. No product placement, bizarrely.
Yeah.
Diet, generic, low sugar, calorie, soft drink.
What's the other one? Something else.
Don't know. We'll never know, I guess.
Yeah, thank God that's not going to come up in the quiz at the end.
Yeah, it originally was going to, and then we've bumped it for something else.
Also, Dave, did you notice, right, there's one thing that has cropped up a lot over the course of this podcast, and one thing that we've referenced a lot, is how they all do some strange things first thing in the morning, and how they all seem to have breakfast together, and that's quite an unnatural thing to go to a friend's house for breakfast before you go to work.
Yeah.
And in this episode, there's this rare moment of awareness, because Ross, the first thing he says to Rachel when she walks in the door is, what are you doing shopping at 8 a.m? Finally, one of them's noticed that it's weird to do these things first thing.
Yeah, and she doesn't retort with, why are you in my apartment at 8 a.m? Yeah. When you live across town? Why are you in your sister's apartment? You're bizarro. Yeah. But yeah, they're all just having breakfast. Like, that's a normal thing. I can only presume it's a Saturday or a Sunday.
I reckon this is a weekend.
It must be a weekend, this, because otherwise being up at 8 a.m. is fine. That's just normal. Why up at 8 a.m? Because I've got a job. End. So they do the thing with the shopping bags.
Half a box of cookies.
Half a box of cookies in there. And there's a weird bit where when they get the scotch tape, Chandler goes, it's because we were up all night
making
scary faces. I didn't understand that at all.
Do you know? I reckon they were, you know, have you ever seen anyone stick tape to their face?
And like squish pull their skin
up
around.
Yeah, yeah, and then tape it up just so they look weird.
Oh.
So they must have been doing that, which is a very Joey and Chandler. I think this whole episode reflects that this was before the internet was really big, because they do some weird stuff in their free time. Like, this whole quiz would never happen, because people would be just staring at their phones going, oh no, that's just... do a Sudoku on our phones or something.
Dale Winton's died.
Yeah, yeah.
Gives you an indication as to when we're recording this. But yeah, I mean, but they were up all night making scary faces as well. That's there's something a bit wrong.
The cockerel was keeping them up. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's why it was screaming so much.
Yeah, putting scotch tape on the cockerel's face. So they end up doing the game. Ross volunteers reluctantly at first, but then obviously doesn't want to get let out.
Ross is the most annoying prick in this episode.
When he's doing the we'll voices. Be starting with apples.
Yeah, and then they tell him to stop, and he does it once more time later, but what they don't realise is that he does it throughout the whole quiz. This yes. really annoying voice, this game show.
He really performs it, doesn't he, the whole way through?
Yeah, it's a very American game show voice, because none of our game show people do that, do they?
I've never noticed it until watching this back. When he's reading out the categories, he does it in such a weird voice. So he's like, fears and pet peeves. Literature or whatever, and at the end he does "It's All Relative" in a British accent.
It's all relative,
and it's really strange. It's like a weird throw forward to his bizarre British accent in the lecture later.
And I tell you what really annoys me as well is they use the term categories, the American version of that, and that word is said so many times in this episode. As soon as you notice it, it's literally said every other sentence. Like, from about halfway through the episode, they go, I reckon it is a bet in the writer's room. Just, let's see how many times we can put the word categories in this. Literally, every other sentence they have it in. It's insane.
And it annoys you because of the way they say it?
Yeah, categories.
Categories.
It's categories.
Yeah, you take that, Americans. Yeah. Cornelius has told you.
We invented the language, and then you ruined it.
The weird thing is, I want to flag up at this point, I used to have the board game version of this game. Did you ever know that that existed? Does anyone know this?
What?
What, like an actual Friends product?
It was an actual Friends branded product. That me and my sister used to own, which was this game.
Really?
On a board game.
Did it include the massive whiteboard?
No, it did
which
not.
Which, of course, they have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No explanation as to where that comes from.
Yeah. It's
where?
I mean, we see the entire apartment.
Maybe it's in that cupboard where Monica puts everything.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We see that entire apartment across all 10 series. And not once is there a classroom-sized... whiteboard
and a lot of stationery. Like, there's a lot of coloured cardboard. There's a lot of whiteboard markers. There's a lot of magnets involved.
I feel like Ross has had this quiz prepared for several years yeah. and has been waiting for an opportunity to unleash and inflict it on everyone that he knows. And then finally he wheels this whiteboard out and it's all ready and prepared.
Spent years practicing the voice. Saying the word categories as much as he can, and now he's ready to go.
To annoy you for the rest of your life.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So they do the first sort of round of the quiz. That's all the there's loads of funny, memorable lines in those first bits.
That's why I picked this episode.
Yeah,
it is the most quotable episode of Friends. I think there is.
You're shooting with Althea. Nice shooting. All of those bits in the original stuff, and then they are tied. What is it? 9-8.
Yes.
So they've both got one wrong. I don't know. It's one of the things where you just get
that. That's very in-depth knowledge already. That's the sort of lightning round question that we'd ask Con at the end.
And I would have got it wrong.
And I thought this actually might be one of those episodes where we go without one of those problematic jokes that everyone will moan about now that Friends is on Netflix. But Viva Las Vegas is a...
yeah.
Really just popped up out of nowhere. So it's good. They're still still 2 for 2 on those. And then so there's a sort of first half of the quiz, and before the lightning round, it's not really very eventful, right? And then did you notice when they take a break from the quiz before the lightning round, and Monica and Rachel having that little chat, you know? They're having a little conflab in the kitchen going, come on, we can win this.
A little
we can
pep
win
talk, this steady hand.
In the background, Joey, Chandler and Ross are moving furniture around.
I didn't notice that.
They're all moving furniture around.
What, assuming that they've won?
Right, no, they're moving furniture around as if to prepare a space for,
for the
exact same activity they've been doing all afternoon. Well, move the table.
Maybe they're going to play Twister next.
Yeah, right. But it's like, oh, it's a lightning round now, so we're going to need the whole floor space. And it's just still answering questions. They're still all just standing there. It was a really strange moment.
I think the moment that... that Monica and Rachel lose their apartment, and that scream and the increasing tension as the time runs out on Ross's timer.
Oh yeah.
I feel like it feels like genuinely like they are devastated when they use that flat. It's brilliant.
It's really tense, isn't it? The lightning round is actually genuinely really tense because you have no concept of what the time is, and that sort of moment, the transponster moment, is genuinely like you're sitting there going, there's 10 seconds left, what's going to happen here? It's proper fun and tense. But the boys win, and then shit goes down really fast. They pack up those apartments faster than I've ever seen anyone pack anything, because Phoebe gets back from her appointment about an hour later, and they've packed up 2 whole apartments.
Yeah, and they have enough cardboard boxes for all their stuff.
Yeah.
And also, do you really need cardboard boxes if you're moving across the hall?
It's just about to say the same thing. You just carry it across and stick it there because it's literally about 10 metres away.
Because there's a later shot, like one of the last scenes when they've moved into the new flat and there's just boxes everywhere.
Yeah.
And it just looked like, oh, we've got to unpack this all now. And it's just like, well, you just packed it like literally 10 metres away. In another room.
So there's 2 shots of the boxes. Did you notice what was written on the boxes?
No.
So there's a shot when
they
Phoebe's...
wrote on the boxes.
Right, they wrote on the boxes. So in when Phoebe's lying upside down in that chair, you know, I'll let gravity do its best work or whatever. Joey's boxes are behind it. So on one box is Joey's clothes. On another, it says Joey's sports stuff. What's that?
Yeah.
Then just Joey's stuff. They couldn't think of a third
thing. It's
just
those weights from when he gets his hernia.
Then there's a box that says Joey's TV guides. It's a whole box of Joey's old...
They're not Joey's TV guides. They're Chenanda LeBond.
Yeah, exactly. Miss Chenanda LeBond.
And then this is the thing that you flagged up of why would you do this. There's a whole box with 2 pillows in it. So they've gone to the bother of packing 2 pillows into a cardboard box, picking up the cardboard box and walking 5 yards and then putting it down.
Dave, did you have to pause this scene to spot all this?
I very
or
much
was
did,
it over the course?
No, nope, that was a pause. I paused it twice because it was right at the end when we see into what was the boys' apartment and is now the girls'. Monica's boxes are labelled everyday use towels. Beach towels. There's a whole box of beach towels. Again, just pick up the
there's
pile
11
of towels.
Categories.
11
isn't
categories
there?
Of towels. The smallest box is labelled kitchen, and that's half the size of the box everyday use towels. So her entire kitchen. A professional chef has kitchenware which can fit into one small box.
And this is a point where I rewound actually.
Right.
And this is proper nerdy, like I feel like I should be in a convention going, yes, in this episode, in the scene. So, you know when Rachel comes out and just goes, you boys are mean, out of her room.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
There is a vase behind her on the left that has, and I noticed this vase with a flower in. It also got a picture of a flower on the vase, which I think is a bit weird because that's exactly what's going to go in it. It's like labelled.
Who designed that vase? Yeah. The only thing you wouldn't put on the vase is a flower.
But it keeps shooting from, switching from Rachel to the boys. the vase turns around.
Does it?
And then it goes back. Ah, oh, so good. Oh, a real continuity error.
I really like that.
Also, who's moving the vase at any point?
Right.
They must have filmed on different days that one, like, sentence.
Yeah. But even so, why is the vase moving? That set must have just stayed there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, if they had rebuilt the set from scratch for some reason, just look at the photos. There's an amazing... My favourite Friends continuity ever is... There's a scene late in later episodes with Mike and Phoebe where, you know, it's the crap bag one, the banana hammock one. And when they're having that discussion in Central Perk, Mike's wearing a scarf. And in half the shots, it's the scarf is undone. And in half the shots, the scarf is around his neck. And it just keeps going from one to another. And once you've noticed it, you cannot stop noticing it because it's so shit. It's like there is somebody that works on TV, as far as I understand, whose entire job is continuity.
Yeah, it's and like they take photos of Polaroids. Yeah. And you always think when you see that, and you go, oh, surely no one cares.
Yeah.
And then, but we do.
But, yeah, but when you see, like, this, when you watch that scarf, go and watch that one back. When you watch that, you're like, that is, they must have been fired. Like, that's
fired.
That's so, but if your only job is that.
Isn't there also an episode where an extra replaces Rachel behind someone and it, I'm sure this was something the internet discovered quite recently. Like, an entirely different woman other than Rachel appears behind, I think it's behind Joey at some point.
It's, I'll tell you exactly what it is. I remember this.
It's and the Xerox girl.
It's, no, it's, there's a scene where I think Rachel's sitting on the couch and Monica in the corner of the shot is at the end of the couch and it's a completely different woman. And do you know what the reason for that is?
Rachel was on a break.
Rachel
Very
was
ironic.
On a break. No, so the reason for that is that when they were all shot, it was before they were shooting everything in widescreen. So actually that person was only there to, like, for whoever was talking to her to react to. And then once they redid them for widescreen, she was too much in the shot.
I've just found it. Yeah, I've just found it. So during season 9, episode 15, the one with the mugging, Jennifer Aniston was replaced with a stand-in while her character Rachel was still in shot and the understudy wasn't even wearing the same outfit.
Are you going to do that thing where you find out where that actor is now?
Shall I try it? Because I have got her name. Oh, no, hang on. I've got the name of... Oh, no, I've got the name of the person who spotted it. I don't think I have got... No, I think we may never know who that is.
There's two things I want to pick up there. One, you were like, are you going to do that thing? Which I'm thrilled by because it means you've listened to all the podcasts. But the way you said it was within such disdain. You're like, oh, you know that thing you do? Where you
I actually really like it. And I was quite gutted because my episode is literally just the five in an apartment. So, yeah. So
there is one character who I tried to look up just in case because I sort of vaguely recognised her. The doctor.
The doctor,
In the embryo scene, but she is not done
the
much.
The groin poker.
She is a category of actor which can only be described as unclickable name on Wikipedia. So yeah, poor old, I think she's called Cindy.
So I'm now looking further down this article and there are numerous examples of this same thing happening, presumably because of what you said about widescreen day.
Yeah.
So there's also an episode where Phoebe is on a sofa supposedly talking to Monica.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking of.
The shot changes. Oh, yeah, it's Phoebe and Monica on a sofa and there's another woman on the end of the sofa. Mm. And then someone has also made a point. It's not quite continuity, but it's bad attention to detail. Rachel, in the final episode of Friends, when she presents her passport to a member of staff, the woman on the passport in her photo is quite clearly not Rachel and it's quite clearly in shot.
I mean, that's mad because wouldn't you just... at least just get Jennifer Aniston's actual passport, which is a real prop.
Also, just... danger of fraud there, because that's clearly true. Just an extra or someone's passport. Yeah. They forgot to get one.
The photo in Rachel's passport looks considerably more like Monica than it does Rachel.
I've never noticed that.
An entirely different woman.
I will enjoy watching that back. And then we get to the end of the episode, which is one of those like absolutely classic Friends moments where so many people are shouting... and then somebody comes in with good news.
Oh, yeah.
That happened about eight times. It happens when Monica and Chandler learn they're getting a baby. Mm. It happens when Ross and Susan are arguing at the sonogram and Carol's like, oh, the heartbeat or whatever. They just do this thing where it's like, all right, everyone shout. And then someone come out and go, hey, guys, the world's fine. And they all hug and it's all nice again.
Yeah, while you mentioned sonograms, actually, going back to Phoebe's embryos, when she's in the room, I tell you what, this is one of the bizarre scenes which I wish they sort of didn't have. and that's Phoebe talking to the embryos, having been left alone in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why no one would actually do that. But in the background there, on the sort of sonogram machine, there's a picture of a sonogram going on, even though there's clearly no scan going on.
Yes, I noticed that. There's a womb.
It's not moving. Yeah, it's just like a picture of a womb.
On the screen, yeah. But whose womb is that?
Yeah, it's like, as if we were all, if they didn't do that, we're going to go, why is there a computer in there? Why is that? It's the 90s. Why is there a computer there?
Should we do the lightning round, Pete?
Yes. And Con, does Con know about this? He doesn't.
No. You can break it to him.
Con, there's a bit of a change to our usual routine with the lightning round.
Okay.
Because you've picked the episode containing the lightning round, we thought that we'd quiz you with the actual lightning round.
So you've got both full lightning rounds, the one for the guys and the one for the girls.
And as you are Dave's flatmate, if you lose, you will have to move out of the apartment, I'm afraid.
So there is an incentive.
Yeah.
All right, let's start the proverbial clock. And Pete, do you want to take the first one? These are the questions that Ross gives to Joey and Chandler. I'm going to start the clock.
Oh, wait, so I'm under time as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I've just thought of doing that now. So let me get a stopwatch up.
Do they have a minute? Is it a minute?
I think they do. So let's see how accurate to time
but was
that
it
is.
An actual minute? Yeah, a
well,
minute
we'll
on
find
the
out.
Show.
Let's okay. see how long this takes okay. for you to answer these questions. 3, 2, 1, go.
Con, what was Monica's nickname when she was a field hockey goalie?
Big fat goalie.
Rachel claims this is her favourite movie.
I've never heard of it. I know what her actual favourite movie is, Weekend at Bernie's.
Her actual favourite movie is Weekend at Bernie's. In what part of her body did Monica get a pencil stuck at age 14?
Ew, no. Con actually just whispered to me.
It's her ear.
Correct. Monica categorises her towels. How many categories are there?
11.
Correct. What is Joey's favourite food?
Sandwiches.
Chandler was how old when he first touched a girl's breast?
19.
Joey had an imaginary childhood friend. His name was...
Susan.
Maurice.
No,
and his profession
that.
Was...
Maurice was... A space cowboy! Yes!
Correct! What is Chandler Bing's job?
A transponster. They don't actually say his real job, do they?
They do not. Actually, that is...
I have got a job title here. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you got the job. What is
that from this episode?
No, I think that is a different episode. It must be from a different
episode.
That's
not fair. This is the only episode of Friends I've ever seen.
You should know, because it's pretty obvious that Chandler Bing's job is statistical analysis and data reconfiguration.
No.
But you got pretty much all of them right, apart from you didn't get Dangerous Liaisons.
Never heard of that.
Which is Rachel's favourite, what she claims her favourite movie is.
Mm.
And you didn't get Maurice.
Yeah, that's annoyed me. I don't know where I got Susan from.
Susan? But you did all the questions, which is supposedly 2 minutes of questions in 1 minute and 15 seconds. So
wow.
You are quick.
Yeah, and I've won your flat.
Yeah, shit. Let no one ever take that away. That's it. Thanks very much, Con.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure, Con. Thank you for... You picked a very good episode. You've done very well.
Well, there. I should credit my friend Elliot, who actually picked it, because I was going to do the one with Ross's tan, but then he went, oh, you should do that one. And I went, oh, yeah, of course I should.
Idiot. So Elliot has actually picked a great episode, and you have just taken credit for somebody else's hard work. Until now, when you admitted it, which is a very noble thing to have done. Cornelius Mendez, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Hello, still here. Look, this is the bit where we would normally say, next week's episode is...
Yeah.
What is it, Pete?
We don't actually know.
No, we don't know because of...
We've run out of friends.
Why don't you explain why we aren't recording one next week?
The genuine reason why we aren't recording next week is because I'm an idiot and I'm running 5 half marathons in 5 days. And for charity, not just for fun.
That is insane. You're an idiot.
It will be no
How's
fun.
How's the training
going? Training's pretty much done now, which is slightly like disconcerting because I'm not supposed to really do much for the next few days. But if I'm not like exercising, I feel like I'm gonna fail.
Yeah, that's
basically.
The way you said it. You're like, training's pretty much done. I've done a bit of running. It's like, what more can I do? Well, good luck, mate. When this episode is published on Wednesday, you will be 3 down, or will you? I mean, it depends on someone listening.
When this episode is published on Wednesday, I will have done 2, and I will be. Wednesday is the glamour day next week. I am running from Barnsley to Huddersfield.
Oh, hello. So if you are listening to this during the day on Wednesday, just spare a thought for Pete, who is somewhere between Barnsley and Huddersfield on his 3rd half marathon. Hey, and if people want to donate to your charity, Pete, what's the deets?
Shall I read the text number out?
Yeah, why not, mate? Bang it on.
I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to, as concisely as I possibly can, do the terms and conditions which I'm required to do whenever I mention this.
Oh, really? That's so, Pete, just for background, if you don't know, Pete is a capital DJ. This is obviously something that you've got quite used to, reading this out and then saying terms and conditions apply and all that. Go on, give it as your best.
So if you could be a wonderful person and donate £5, text Pete 5, that's Pete and the number 5, to 70766. That's Pete 5 to 70766. Are you ready for the terms and conditions bit?
Am I ever. Let's put some fun music under it.
100% of your donation will go to Global's Make Some Noise, supporting charities like Carers Leeds. If you're under 16, please ask the bill payer's permission first. Standard network charges may apply. Terms and conditions are at makesomenoise.com.
That was fun. Great news. Well done. Good luck. I said well done. You haven't done anything yet. Good luck. Let's hope. Hopefully I'll be done.
Hopefully I'll be back for another episode at some point if I don't die.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.